This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello. You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I was in Victoria, BC a while ago, and I told you all about the good dogs and the good owners and the not-so-good owners, the people who considered the crowd and their dogs getting stepped on and the people who didn't. But there was one thing I didn't tell you about that was really quite peculiar. I don't know what this guy was thinking. But it was at a Caribbean festival parade, which was really exciting, and everyone was dressed up and in costumes and dancing in the street, and there was live music and also piped in music and people joining into that, and I was having a great time. Didn't know it was happening. All of a sudden, there it was. Perfect. Loving it. But there were some dogs there, some dressed up with jingly little scarves on their little butts, and some not, and some well taken care of and out of the fray of the crowd. But then, okay, so I'll tell you about the guy that made me raise one eyebrow like Spock. What the heck was he thinking? This guy, a more than average size guy, like I wouldn't say fat, but heavier set. Definitely a 180 to 200 pound guy, 5'8 to 6 feet, somewhere in there. And I can't really say his height because I wasn't that close to him. But I saw him walking through the crowd, and then I saw him walking into one of these FIFA areas. And I kind of followed him for a little while, and I got him on camera a bit because I couldn't figure out what he was doing with this dog. Okay, I'll tell you about that after the break because it's kind of strange. And today's riddle is, what's most likely to get you hurt if you are traveling in a park? What would it be? What's likely to get you most hurt? In Yellowstone? Maybe. What do you think? All right, well, we'll talk about that after the break as well. Let's go to break. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And what do you think would hurt you most in Yellowstone? Would it be an animal? What kind of animal? What do you think? Or was it something else? Well, think about that, but don't look it up. Don't cheat. All right, so the weird walk in Vancouver, in Vancouver Island, actually, in Victoria, at the big Caribbean parade and then at FIFA, I saw this man, this large, strong man, walking a large, strong dog, not a small dog, not a medium dog, a large dog, not a jumbo dog, like a German Shepherd-sized dog. And the dog had on it one of those saddles, you know, that says service dog. Okay, so he's labeled as a service dog. Right away, I start watching. Are you mistreating your service dog? Has this dog got water and shade? Is it okay? You know, I care. So I'm looking. But what's this guy doing? He's got the dog walking between his legs through the crowd. I've never seen this before. Has any of you seen this? Do you know what this is about? Why on earth? Now, if the dog isn't trained to deal with crowds and has to be between the man's legs, so much so that the man is basically bow-legged, kind of ambling through the crowd because the dog's between his legs, a very large dog, what is going on with this? Why is this a service dog? And why is he there? And why is this the training? And if that's not the training, if the guy is so anxious that he needs a dog between his legs, this is a very strange approach. I just found this whole thing made me just giant question mark on my head. So I am going to post this video at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook just because I can't figure it out. And maybe somebody can tell me. All right. What would you get hurt by at Yellowstone, do you think? We'll talk about that later. Because there was a grandpa playing near the campsite with his grandson doing something. And he was 100 feet away, possibly 100 yards away. He was far away, 100 yards, it says. I'm doubtful on that. But anyway, 100 yards away. And they were filming a bison. And the bison charged him, sent him to the hospital. Yeah. So does that happen often? No. No. But it can happen. Animals can charge people. Mama animals sometimes charge people to protect their young. And stud animals, animals who want to mate during mating season, the biggest stuff is males, will try and keep you and yours away from them and theirs when they're in mating season and they're fighting. And so it can be dangerous. So do you think that's what the problem is in Yellowstone? What you're most likely to get hurt by? Maybe. Okay, I got a question recently that I want to tackle. And it was, why does my cat not get stoned on catnip? Oh, okay. So sometimes you get a cat and you think, oh, I'll give it a treat. I'll buy some catnip, and you give it to it and nothing happens. And you think, well, that must be bad catnip. Buy some more and you try it again and nothing happens. And then you think, well, maybe my cat's just no fun. No, it's supposed to be, and I would dispute this because this is not true for my reality, but supposedly 50% of cats don't react to catnip, supposedly. So far, I've never owned a cat that didn't. So I'm a little skeptical of this because I've had multiple cats. I had two most of my adult life. And when I moved to this farm at Camp Good Dog, I had five. Right now I have three. That's a lot of years of different cats. In the year 2000, I helped the local authorities and the SPCA rescue 100 cats. There were 96 of them on my property at one point. And so clearly, I've had a lot of exposure to cats, and every cat I've ever offered catnip to has reacted to it. So I'm not sure where they come up with this statistic, but they do say that many, 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 many cats don't react at all. And if two cats mate, you know, you got a mom and a papa cat, one of them is a reactive to catnip, then it's only 50% of a chance that the babies will be. Maybe that's true. I don't know. Not my experience, but the receptors are in their noses. And so they go for it. They smell it and they lick it and they chew it and they roll in it and they act really crazy. Sometimes they get hyperactive. Sometimes they get really slow. In my experience, most of my cats do both. They get hyperactive first. They start lunging at things no one can see, trying to catch invisible insects or hunt mice I don't see. And then they curl up in a ball and sleep. Sometimes even in a growing patch of catnip. So you think, well, don't they OD? No, they don't. And that's a good thing. They get as high as they can get, and then it just doesn't affect them anymore for quite a while. So they're not in any danger with catnip. And I actually grow it on my property in quite a few places because I use it. I make bug repellent from it. Bugs don't like catnip. And catnip's really pretty. It grows in baskets really nicely, and it has beautiful little purple flowers, and it's really easy to grow, really easy to harvest. Just grow from seed in any pot. It's so easy. And then you can make these solutions. So I do it with coconut oil. And so when I rub my skin with this bug repellent, it feels like I'm giving myself a nice coconut oil moisture treatment, right? It looks like cream, and when I spread it on, it turns quickly to oil, and my skin just drinks it up. And yet the bugs don't bug me. So it's a wonderful solution. But I think, for those of you who are wondering, if you don't own a cat and you've always wanted to see cats on catnip, I think I'm going to post that. I think I'll take some of my catnip and I'll put it in a few boxes, because you know cats love boxes. And I will film the activity and post it at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. Actually, you know what? That's what I'll do. I'll put it at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. On there right now are tons of puppy videos because I have, Well, I had 9 puppies. One went to a good home last week because the vet said it could go early, the biggest one. And now I have 8 puppies and 3, 4 spoken for, leaving sometime later next week when they're 8 weeks old. They turn 8 weeks in a day. Oh my goodness, that went fast. And then I'll have half of them left to keep filming and showing you what golden doodles look like playing and frolicking and being their ever cute selves with their little black noses. So it's pretty adorable around here. So why doesn't your cat react to catnip? Well, I guess genetically he can't. And that's a shame because it's really fun to watch him. So if you're curious about that, check out Dub Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. Or if you just want to see puppies, check it out there. All right, we're going to go to the last break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and the weird walk I told you about, well, you can check that out on my Deb Wolf Pet Expert Facebook page. I'm going to post that right away. What are you most likely to get hurt by in Yellowstone? Well, it is not a charging bison. It's not a black bear. It's not a rutting deer competing for a mate. It's none of those things. It's actually more likely to be that you fall. Or you get hit by a car. Car accidents are really common there. 2 cars colliding, people hitting cars hitting people, whatever. Anything to do with motor vehicles, that's a big one. Anything to do with exposure is a big one. You get too hot, you get too cold, hypothermia, you dehydrate, all that kind of stuff. So that's just poor planning, really. Trip and fall, that's an accident. All those things are more likely to get you than an animal. And yet it's the animals we always worry about. The animals should be worried about us. So if you do bring a dog to a park like that, you got to check out the rules first. They're going to be really, really strict. So in a place like Yellowstone, you are allowed to bring your dog, but your dog must always be on leash and only be in the paved areas that are most public. So that's going to be parking lots, campsites. It may not be the trip of a lifetime for your dog, let's just say. And a lot of your dogs are going to be prey. So I really wouldn't necessarily want to bring a dog to a nature park like that. Speaking of that, I want to give a little warning. I've noticed signs going up all over the place. Coyotes spotted, keep your dogs on leash, which I do agree with. If there are coyotes, then any dog who is not so trained, so fit, so healthy, and big should not be off leash. But if we put all the dogs on leash, all the big ones, all the tough ones, all the packs of dogs running and chasing balls, then we let the coyotes reclaim that area, which is a mistake. So the prey dogs, the old, the lame, the sick, the ones who don't listen, the ones who will be tricked by coyotes and run off, the little ones, they all got to be on leashes. Absolutely. And further to this, I just want to say a sad note. This one's hard for me. I was talking to some fishermen the other day, and they told me that on this beach they fish at, a tree came down because of a lightning strike, and in the tree was an eagle's nest. And it was an empty eagle's nest from the year before, but in it they found 25 dog collars, little itty-bitty dog collars, little pink ones and blue ones with names like Prince and Honey and Sweetie. And the people were walking their dogs on the beach. And the eagles were just picking them off. So if you have a prey dog, don't let it off leash. Keep it right with you. Right with you. All right. Okay. So we covered our riddle of the day, which is what's most likely to get you in Yellowstone. And it's a car or poor planning or a trip and fall or the elements. And last on that whole list is animals. So we don't have to worry about that too much. But at the same time, follow the rules, watch the signs. If it says keep your distance, do it. And if you do encounter a charging bison, I know it's very, very hard to do this, but what must you do? You must not run. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And they say, you know, people always say, well, you just only have to be faster than the guy next to you. Actually, not true. In that case, the bison's more likely to go for the faster of you two and then go for the other guy after. So really, don't run. Don't run. How do you do that? I don't know. You just gotta roll in a ball. The best thing to do if a charging animal is trying to charge you, this is true of any charging animal, is get something between you and it, like a tree, a car, something that blocks its view of you and makes it impossible for it to do the charge. That's what I would do. All right, everybody, from Deb Wolf and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.